Please repeat. Insurmountable.
Insurmountable.
Eternal time.
Eternal time.
Imperceptibly overcomes.
Imperceptibly overcomes.
Those who are too much attached.
Those who are too much attached.
To family affairs.
Family affairs.
And are always engrossed in their thought.
And are always engrossed in their thought.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. I am now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. I can now give my children enough estate. I am now successful. The poor beggar sannyasis depend on God, but they come to beg from me. Therefore, I am more than the Supreme God. Any questions? Okay, Prashad. These are some of the thoughts which engross the insanely attached householder, who is blind to the passing of eternal time. Our duration of life is measured, and no one is able to enhance it, even by a second, against the scheduled time ordained by the Supreme Will. Such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent, because even a second passed away imperceptibly cannot be replaced, even in exchange for thousands of gold coins amassed by hard labor. Every second of human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to the problems of life, that is, repetition of birth and death, and revolving in the cycle of 8,400,000 different species of life. The material body, which is subject to birth and death, disease, and old age, is the cause of all sufferings of the living being. Otherwise, the living being is eternal. He is never born, nor does he ever die. Foolish persons forget this problem. They do not know at all how to solve the problems of life, but become engrossed in temporary family affairs, not knowing that eternal time is passing away imperceptibly and that their measured duration of life is diminishing every second without any solution to the big problem, namely repetition of birth and death, disease and old age. This is called illusion. But such illusion cannot work on one who is awake in the devotional service of the Lord. Yudhishthira Maharaj and his brothers, the Pandavas, were all engaged in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, and they had very little attraction for the illusory happiness of this material world. As we have discussed previously, Maharaj Yudhishthira was fixed in the service of the Lord Mukunda, the Lord who can award salvation. And therefore he had no attraction even for such comforts of life as are available in the kingdom of heaven. Because even the happiness obtained on the planet Brahmaloka is also temporary and illusory. Because the living being is eternal, he can be happy only in the eternal abode of the kingdom of God, Paravyoma, from which no one returns to this region of repeated birth and death, disease, and old age. Therefore, any comfort of life or any material happiness which does not warrant an eternal life is but illusion for the eternal living being. One who understands this factually is learned. And such a learned person can sacrifice any amount of material happiness to achieve the desired goal known as Brahma-sukham, or absolute happiness. Real transcendentalists are hungry for this happiness, and as a hungry man cannot be made happy by all the comforts of life, minus foodstuff, so the man hungry for eternal absolute happiness cannot be satisfied by any amount of material happiness. Therefore, the instruction described in this verse cannot be applied to Maharaj Yudhishthira or his brothers and mother. It is meant for persons like Dhritarashtra, for whom Vidura came especially to impart lessons. Translation. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always absorbed in their thought. Om Agyan Timurandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshudan Minitam Jena Tasmaya Sigurdavena Maha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupa Kadamayam Vedantisva Vedantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sya Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Om Am Him Shrom Om Padom Tataka Hataka Keshika Jalad Padaka Lochana Vadvadaka Naka Sparsity Vasingha Namos today. Very strong verse. This verse is actually a very powerful condemnation of materialistic householder life. which Srila Prabhupada once described as a bottomless pit, a bottomless well. Of course, this verse, as Prabhupada mentions, is not meant for devotee householders, householder devotees, like Yudhishthira and his brothers, who lived with family members for the purpose of devotional service to Lord Krishna, or personalities like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose formula for family life was very simple. Manasa deha geha yokichu mor. My mind, my body, my home, everything, my Lord, at your feet I consign. This is actually the successful formula for grihastha life. Such service to the Lord, dedicating one's body, mind, home, family members in the service of the Lord. How did that result for Bhaktivinoda Thakur? He woke up one morning and he said, I saw my house transformed into Vaikuntha. So there's no bar. Grihe tako, bhane tako. We mentioned the other day during the marriage ceremony, Prabhava's marriage ceremony. Doesn't matter whether one is grihe tako, bhane tako, whether one is a grihastra, or whether one is a sannyasi living in the forest. Narottam Das Thakur says, if that person is a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, I want his association. So the guiding light, the guiding principle, manasa deha geha yogichi mor. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he personally exemplified this principle. He had many children. And he was engaged in many what we could, would consider materialistic affairs. What could be more materialistic than politics? Politics is the epitome of materialism. You have to change around the material energy to make a favorable situation, so there's no chaos. Arranging. So he was a judge, a magistrate, and he had to deal with so many nonsense things, so many criminal activities, this and that. But nonetheless, because manasa deha yokichimo, his body, his mind, and his words were dedicated to the service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was never entangled. But rather, he achieved the perfection. One day he woke up and he saw his griha transformed into Vaikuntha. So when we speak of devotee householder life, it is called grihastha ashram. And literally, ashram means, when we think of ashram, we think of the place of the spiritual master. In the Vedic age, the young boys would go to live in the ashram with the spiritual master. So, grihastha ashram, actually the house is meant to be an extension of the temple. It's not that the apartment of the house is something different from the temple, that it's a place where we go when we need relief from devotional service, or we need to do something other than devotional service. Actually, we should consider the family of ISKCON. And the grihastha ashrams are actually, they're meant to be extensions of the temple. The temple is actually meant for the purpose of bringing people to Krishna consciousness. So our grihastha ashrams are also meant to function like that. In one sense, they're like namhata centers. I know this is especially true in Eastern Europe and Russia, where we can't have temples because, first of all, the government owns all the big buildings. And second of all, even if we had the money, or even if we could get them, we wouldn't have the money to do so because they're so expensive. So what has happened, the natural consequence, is that devotees stay home and practice Krishna consciousness. Namhata. This was actually the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Many, many little temples. One big temple that everyone can come to become rejuvenated, see the beautiful form of the Lord, and lots of little temples where people can come. And those little temples are what? They're actually the households. They're the ashrams of the grihastras, where the center of the ashram is the deity of the Lord. In a grihamedi's household, the center of his attention is material life, which is personified by the television. Just as one can get all inspiration from the deity, just by seeing the deity, bowing down to the deity, glorifying the deity, one can receive all inspiration to advance in the path of devotional service. Similarly, the center of the grihamedi's life is the television, and he gets all inspiration by watching that television. It's been described as the one-eyed guru. The TV only has one eye. You look, but actually it's considered inauspicious in Vedic culture to look at someone with one eye. In India you always see that someone's walking, he has one eye, everybody turns away. Nobody wants to look. So we receive our inspiration from the Lord, and those who are grihamedis, they receive their inspiration from the television, actually, which is broadcasting, just like Krishna's his glories are being broadcast in the temple. So in the Griha Medhi's life, the television is broadcasting the so-called glories of material existence. So when you visit a Grihastha's home, it's just like visiting the temple, actually. It's a mini temple. It's a mini temple. What does temple mean? Temple doesn't just mean four walls. Temple means that place where devotional service is being executed. So any place can be turned into Vaikuntha. Advaita Acharya glorified Lord Chaitanya. Wherever you are, that's Vaikuntha. That's Vrindavan. So what is the characteristic nature of Vrindavan? Where pure, unalloyed devotional service is being practiced. So what does pure devotional service being practiced mean? Where Krishna is the center of our lives. So Grihastha life means that Krishna is the center. So therefore, wherever there's strict observance of the regulative principles and worship of the deity, there's a very strong spiritual atmosphere. And that is the duty of our Grihasthas, to preach in that way. Actually, most people are married. Prabhupada said in this material world, a man desires a woman, and a woman desires a man. That is the nature of this material world. So our Grihasthas are meant to exemplify the principle how men and women can live together, conducive to liberation, not to bondage. It's a very big responsibility. It's equal with the responsibility of any other ashram. Sometimes we think it's the sannyasis who are traveling and spreading the movement. But people need a good example to follow. If there's just philosophy but not a good example, what will people do? They need a good example. So, yes, maybe the sannyasis are traveling and preaching, but the people need the perfect example of how they can personally conduct their lives, and that is to be found in our exemplary Grihastha devotees. As we mentioned at the marriage ceremony, Prabhupada said, "My Guru Maharaj, he created an army of sannyasis. I will create an army of Grihasthas." And actually we see that the devotees who began this yatra, this very English yatra, many of them will be coming. Some of them are here, like Mother Mondakini Prabhu. They came in the early years, and they began preaching here in this yatra, and also the Russian yatra. I was talking with Mother Mondakini yesterday, and we give credit to different devotees who went to Russia and began the preaching. His Holiness Harikesh Maharaj went in there in the early years. Kirti Raj got arrested by the KGB, and and Gopal Krishna Maharaj also went in there. But actually, I think that the first devotee who went in there after Srila Prabhupada was Mother Mondakini. Prabhupada asked her to go there and marry one Russian boy. That devotee that Prabhupada made, Ananta Shanti, Prabhupada's instruction was that Mother Mondakini go there. So here we see our Grihasthas preaching in very difficult situations. So this is actually, Grihastha life is actually meant also to be preaching according to one's position. So the home should be a replica of the temple. Should actually be a perfect replica of the temple where there's constant Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasham, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. And anyone who comes in contact with that mini temple, he immediately becomes affected. Immediately becomes affected. So strong observance of regulative principles, worship of the deity, a spiritual atmosphere is created. And wherever there's a spiritual atmosphere, our mind is naturally directed towards God. It is naturally uplifted. Wherever there's a spiritual atmosphere, even if you're a mundane person, we can always all of us can remember our first experience in walking into the temple. We didn't know anything about Krishna consciousness. But because of that atmosphere which was surcharged with Krishna consciousness, our consciousness was immediately elevated. If a man and a woman live in such a spiritual atmosphere, they'll not be attracted by material desire or sex desire. Because after all, even in Grihastha ashram, we have to be careful, because it's an axiomatic truth of material existence that woman is like fire and man is like butter. It's not that when you get married, then you reverse the principles of material existence. Some magical feat that you get married and everything becomes... No, woman is still like fire and man is like butter. But fire has two potencies. Fire can purify or fire can destroy. In the ancient days, before they did an operation, they take a medical instrument and they burn it in fire to kill the germs. That's good. Fire can purify. But if the doctor was a little inattentive for a moment, he put his finger in too far, then he burned his finger. So there's always a formality also in the Grihastha ashram. It's not a license for sense gratification. There's certain etiquette which is to be observed so that one can get the best. If householder's life is dedicated to Guru and Krishna, there's no fire of lust, but rather there's fire of purification. So man and woman can live very nicely together if the atmosphere is surcharged spiritually, and that is the household should be like, should be an extension of the temple. Actually, in the Prabhupada described that in Vaikuntha, the men and women are extremely beautiful. And generally, beauty diverts our mind. When you're in the association of a beautiful woman or a handsome man, then one's mind can be easily deviated. But Prabhupada said, although the women are extremely beautiful in Vaikuntha, they're goddesses of fortune, and the men are extremely handsome, there's no sex attraction because they're completely absorbed in Krishna, both of them. So therefore, we have to be attracted to the beauty of Krishna. Therefore, in Vedic cultures, it was obligatory that all householders worship the deity. Because Krishna is supremely beautiful. Nothing beautiful in this world can even come close to Krishna's beauty. In fact, Krishna says, if you're thinking like that, he says, know that all that is beautiful in this material world springs from but a spark of my splendor. So if you amassed all the beauty of this world and you compared it to Krishna's beauty, it would be fractional. Actually, this world is simply the energy of Krishna. Imagine how wonderful is the energetic. If the painting of the artist is wonderful, imagine the mind of the artist. He can keep producing so many wonderful paintings, one after another. So the painting is only an indication of the beauty of the mind of the artist himself. So whatever is beautiful in this world is only indicative of a fraction of the beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In fact, Krishna means the all-attractive personality. And he is present in the form of his deity. There's no difference between the deity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, in order to save us from the false attraction to this gross material body, we have to worship the deity. We have to transfer our attachment from the false beauty of this world to the real beauty of Krishna. Therefore, in Vedic culture, deity worship was obligatory for householders. In every householder's home, there was the deity of Radha Krishna, or the deity of Sitaram, or Gornitai, or Lakshmi Nisringa. That has to be there. Otherwise, if one doesn't have the deity in the home, then the householder must regularly visit the temple. And of course, this is how Srila Prabhupada has organized our society. He didn't stress so much individual deity worship, but he did emphasize the community spirit, Samkirtan, Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Shango Pangasha Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Paya Yashantihi Sumedasaha. Sankirtan means the complete glorification of the Lord. So complete, kirtan means glorification, sam means complete. Complete glorification is there when all members of the community, the sannyasis, the grihastras, the vanaprastas and the brahmacharis, they all come together. That's complete. That's the best. When we can all come together. And when any element is missing, we feel incomplete. We feel incomplete. So we have our responsibilities to ourselves, and we have our responsibility to the whole as well. We're not just responsible to ourselves and Krishna consciousness. We're responsible to Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON movement. Therefore, it's essential that devotees regularly visit the temple. You see this very nicely in India, especially in Jaipur, where in the morning, all the people come from their homes, wherever they are, they come to Radha Govinda's temple. And I know at least myself, when I first went there, I was so much impressed by the devotion. It was dark. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning or something. And people were just streaming in from all directions. Jai Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda. It was buzzing like a beehive or something. And all of a sudden the curtains opened. And there was Radha Govinda. Everyone was chanting prayers. I was so moved by that. The whole town came, practically. So the tradition is that householders must see the deity every day. Because the intimacy is there between man and woman, there's always a little danger. Due to that association, one's mind could be momentarily deviated. So just to make sure that household life remains pure, we have to behold the divine form of the Lord. So therefore, if we don't have the deity in our home, which Prabhupada did not so much stress for the members, we have the deity in the temple. Therefore, the householders must come to the temple regularly. They must come. The temple's like the heart. And the heart, what is the purpose of the heart? The heart actually surcharges the body with oxygen. Actually, every day, the blood in your body, it goes to your heart and it gets pumped up with oxygen. Then it goes all the different parts of your body. It gives it, and when it becomes depleted, when it becomes fried, then it comes back to the heart again and it gets more oxygen. This way it circulates. So the heart is simply is pumping out the oxygen throughout the body. So in the same way, the temple is pumping out that devotion and that spiritual inspiration to the whole community. So everybody has to come through these doors, get surcharged, and go back out. And like this, every day. Every day. If you don't get enough oxygen, then your brain goes funny. So if you don't come to the temple regularly, your brain becomes funny. So it's the duty of the householders to come, if possible, every day. Of course, with so many family responsibilities and duties, but as far as possible, the householder should come to the temple to be infused with Krishna consciousness. This is Grihastha life. So this strong verse, it is not directed to devotees like Yudhishthira and Bhima and others, but to persons like Dhritarashtra. And what is their mentality? What is their life like? Pumsha stidya mituni bhavam tayaramito hridaya grante moho atogri akseti satapti vitar janasya mohoya mahamameti. That the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one becomes attracted to his body, to his home, to his property, to his children, to his relatives, and his wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mind. So a materialistic person's family life, what is that? Materialistic person's family life is simply an extension of his sense gratification. Prabhupada called materialistic family life extended selfishness. Actually, materialistic family life is nothing more than a perverted reflection of the Lord's expanding himself to enjoy. Don't sleep, I can't concentrate. If you sleep, just go in the back. Materialistic family life is an extension of the Lord's expanding himself to enjoy. That is the principle of enjoyment. Enjoyment doesn't mean one. If you want to enjoy, you've got to have two or three or four or like that. So the Lord was originally one, but the Vedas say that he expanded himself and became many. The Lord expanded himself actually as the jivatmas, as the living entities, in order to enjoy transcendental pastimes with his devotees. So when the living entity falls into the material world and tries to imitate God, the same principle is there. He tries to expand himself to enjoy. He can't enjoy alone, so he gets a woman, or a woman gets a man. And then the principle is sex life, and then little children come. And through those children, one also is enjoying. Every father is thinking, when I get old, at least my son will take over the business, or he'll be a great athlete like me, or, you know. Actually, people enjoy through their children like that. He expands his family to enjoy materialistic life. As he has sons and he has daughters, his family reputation expands, and he's assured of a fixed income in the future. This is materialistic life. In this way, his selfishness increases. But the Srimad Bhagavatam warns such materialistic persons that no one should become a mother or a father. No one should become a teacher. No one should become a king. No one should become a guru unless they can guarantee that they can liberate their dependence from the repetition of birth and death. That is the meaning of household life. Prabhupada said there's no meaning to householder life unless there's children. And that's another responsibility of the Grihastha Ashram, to produce saintly persons. Chanaka Pandit says that one tree in the forest which goes rotten, it can pollute the whole forest. But if there's one nice tree in that forest, and he gives the example of a sandalwood tree, the whole forest is permeated by the beautiful smell, the scent of that sandalwood tree. So in the same way, one demon can create so much chaos in human society. One person, one politician, or what to speak of a politician, a scientist or a philosopher. Look at Karl Marx. He influenced people for many, many decades with his bogus philosophy. Or Sigmund Freud. People are bewildered and encouraged in sinful activity by such personalities. So they're like the rotten apples in the bunch. People in general are innocent, actually, Prabhupada said. The people in general are innocent. But they're very much easily influenced by the leaders. So if the leader happens to be a demon, people have to suffer so much. But if the leader happens to be a devotee of the Lord, just like that sandalwood tree, everyone benefits from that beautiful aroma. So having one good devotee in society, the whole society benefits. And whereas a materialistic person, he can do so-called good for the duration of his lifetime, we can see that a pure devotee is glorious. His helping people extends, it's transcendental to even time. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and his follower lives with him. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. A Vaishnav dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy name around. So such a great personality like Śrīla Prabhupāda, he did so much good for the world while he was present, but he's doing as much good now, even after his departure to the spiritual world. His instructions are still here, his books are still here, his devotees. Even in his absence, Prabhupada is continuing to deliver people from material existence. And so Gaura Mohan Day, he prayed like that. He prayed to any sadhu who came, please make my devotee, my son, a pure devotee of Radharani. And by the mercy of Gaura Mohan Day, Prabhupada gave credit, that what I learned from my father, what I imbibed from my father, was later perfected by my eternal spiritual master, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So what a great contribution Gaura Mohan Day gave to the world in his son, Śrīla Prabhupada. Actually, Rajani, his wife, she wanted Prabhupada to go to England to become a lawyer. Oh my God. God forbid. To Prabhupada to come to England to be trained. But Gaura Mohan Day said, no, let him just learn Mridanga. What? Teyo tanakate ditta ditte boom. Teo natakate da ditta ditta da 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 boom. What can this do? But actually, if you ever saw Śrīla Prabhupāda play Mridanga, or you ever saw Prabhupāda just play kartals, what was the result? Just seeing Prabhupāda perform those simple activities in pure love of God captured our hearts. I know personally, I remember sitting in front of Śrīla Prabhupāda in Paris, and Prabhupāda was playing it. I was just fascinated how Prabhupāda was playing those kartals back and forth, and I became convinced I just want to give up material life. What's the connection? You know? But somehow or other, seeing a pure devotee of the Lord absorbed in Krishna consciousness, just, you know, I want to be just like that. One time a devotee said to Prabhupāda, I want to be just like you. And another devotee said, you can't say that. You can't be like the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, yes, thank you very much. Because spiritual master means devotee, best devotee in the eyes of the disciple. And the disciple should emulate the same mood and try as far as possible to follow in the footsteps of the spiritual master. So Gaura Mohan Day, he was the perfect householder. He produced the perfect son. So no one should take this responsibility unless they're prepared to deliver their children from the repetition. Otherwise, simply begetting children is like, what is the difference between begetting children and just for sense enjoyment? What is the difference between that and animal life? It's just sex life. Nothing to be proud of. One time, Prabhupada, he was visiting the house of a life member, and the life member came forward. Hey, Swamiji, I want to introduce you to my family. This is my mother. This is my father. This is my first daughter. This is my second daughter. This is my third daughter. This is my first son, second son, third son, fourth son. This is my cousin's brother, my cousin's brother's uncle, sister's brother, sister. You know, probably had to go through all of this, you know. And then after introducing all these, they just sat there. And Prabhupada turned to one of the sannyasis. He just mimicked the man. He said, this is my sex life. Mimicking the man. I produced all these children. You can produce the children. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I would have sex thousands of times if I could assure that each of those children would become Krishna conscious. So this is a great contribution. The Grihastha Ashram has so much to contribute to Krishna consciousness. In preaching to those who are of the same nature, which means practically 99.99% of society are engaged in man and woman relationships, married life, and producing nice Krishna conscious children who can carry on this Krishna conscious movement. We're all dead and gone. The child is the father of man. But unfortunately, being so much absorbed in just producing these children, you know, for sense enjoyment, for their personal sense enjoyment. This verse states that being too much attached to these family affairs and being engrossed in their thoughts, the attached, Prabhupada said, the insane householder, Grihamedi householder, becomes oblivious of how eternal time is imperceptibly overcoming him. This is the nature of material life. People waste time. Prahlad Maharaj gives a very accurate analysis of how a materialistic person just wastes his time. He says, out of 100 years, the first 25 years are simply spent in frivolous activity, and that we can see. You know, children by nature are quite frivolous, and they while away the time in frivolity and games and playing and this and that. And you know, 25 years goes just like that. After they get out of school, then, oh, no more play, I have to work hard. So they become very determined. Let me work hard to raise this family and become successful. Another 25 years have passed. Very little time for any spiritual activity, if at all. And the next 25 years are spent in retirement, just going to Florida or someplace like that and playing bingo and cards and so forth, trying to enjoy the fruits of 50 years of hard labor. I've worked so hard, now let me enjoy it. And the last 25 years are spent in disease and old age, lamenting, oh, when I was a young man, I used to be able to do... So you see, mainly because the body can no longer enjoy an old life. They're simply remembering that the determination to enjoy is so strong, it doesn't go away with old age. But because the body can no longer enjoy, one goes on in his mind trying to enjoy, remembering, oh, when I... lamenting, the whole... most of the life is spent hankering to get it. And then when there's no facility for hankering, the body's too old, then lamenting about it. This is probably some of the material life. Hankering and lamenting. They spend their whole life hankering. I'm going to get it. When I get that, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get that. And pretty soon, they've got it all, but they're too old to enjoy it. You see, you know, after working, they have a nice house, a big car, a success, but the body's crippled with old age and disease, coughing up mucus. Can't hear anymore. Can't talk. No digestion. How can you enjoy? Such an embarrassing situation. Adding insult to injury. This is a very nice thing. Old age is like adding an insult to an injury. They have it. So what do? They remember, oh, when I was young. So 25 years are wasted in youth, 25 years in working hard to become successful, 25 years in retirement, 25. This is Prahlad Maharaj. And you think, So much time is going. How much of that time can they actually dedicate to spiritual activity? They're so involved in frivolous activity, hard work, retirement, and old age. And besides that, material nature is so merciless, cuts it in half. 50% of their time is sleeping. Out of all those 100 years, practically 50 years is spent sleeping because they like to sleep 10 or 12 hours a day. So how much time? It's very little time. Time is imperceptibly taking away from us at every moment. So whatever time we do have for Krishna conscious activity, we should take full advantage of it. Therefore, you have to be a little austere in Krishna. You have to get up early in Krishna consciousness. You have to come to the temple. Grihetaka. Whether you're a sannyasi, grihastha, whatever, we must take advantage. You have to, because there's so little time, whatever little time there is, you have to take full advantage of it because time goes so quickly. So a materialistic person passes his life very quickly absorbed in material pleasure. But Prabhupada said devotees like Maharaj Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, they're awake to this illusion. They're not sleeping in the lap of the Maya witch. They're very conscious of this illusion, this passing of time very quickly. Prabhupada said a devotee is as introspective as a karmi is speculative. Karmis are very speculative, always speculating. But devotees are always very introspective, trying to figure out, how's it working, why is this, how can I become Krishna? So devotee uses proper use of his time. Chanaka Panda says, Ayusha Shana Ekopi. Not a second of human life can be gained back for all the gold in the world. So devotee uses his time very conscientiously, very, very wisely, because he knows time is actually a feature of the Supreme Lord. It's not to be abused. You should not, just like we don't abuse prasadam or the holy name. So Krishna says, time I am, the destroyer of the worlds. Kalasmi lokasaya krit pravrido. Time I am, the destroyer. So a devotee is very careful when dealing with time. He doesn't abuse it. There's a common saying in the material world, let's kill some time. They don't know what to do with the time, so let's just kill time. But Krishna says, he's the killer. Kalosmi lokakshaya krit. Time I am, I'm the destroyer. So if you don't use time in devotional service, time is going to kill you. It's going to take away your opportunity for Krishna consciousness. And so if one uses his time wisely, time can act as your friend. It will bring us closer to Krishna. We're not afraid of growing old and dying, because we know time is working on our side. We're using all our time, and as we're getting closer to the end, it simply means closer back home, back to Godhead. So time's on our side. So time, actually, when you serve Krishna, time passes very quickly. When you serve Maya, time passes very slowly. This is the meaning of what we're becoming eternal, actually. I always wonder what it, you know, Krishna consciousness means eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. So you get the knowledge, we have the knowledge every day, and we have the bliss, but what does it mean we're becoming eternal? I'm becoming eternal, I'm getting older, and how am I becoming eternal? Because one symptom of eternity is that one is not conscious of the passing of time, past, present, and future. What we're doing now, we're going to do forever. We're practicing Krishna consciousness now. We're just practicing. What we're doing now, we're going to do forever. So therefore, because we're on the platform of devotional service, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, we're not affected by time. Generally, time, you know, for people working in the material world, time passes so slow. They're always looking at their watch, you know. They get to work at 9 o'clock, and by 9:03, they're looking at their watch, you know. Oh, I still got 2 hours till lunch break, you know. Then 7 minutes after, they're looking at their watch again. And the day goes so slowly, and finally 5 o'clock comes around. Oh! But for devotee, time's on our side. Time passes very quickly. Because when you enjoy something, time goes very quickly. But when you're in pain, time goes very slowly. So the conclusion is that we should not waste time in material affairs like Maharaj Dhritarashtra, but rather we should engage our time and our affairs just like Maharaj Yudhishthira. Engage everything, our body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord as a householder, as a sannyasi, and take full advantage. And then we'll have nothing to fear. Ayur Harati Vaipumsham Udyam Ashtam Chayan Asho. That both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of the life of everything except one who utilizes his time by discussing the topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Shirupapad Ki Gaur Premanandi. Any questions?
And looking at the stand-up of Vihasa in ISKCON, I sometimes think that one would want them to take their task to maintain the temple of the more seriously.
Do what now?
I sometimes think one would want that they take their task to maintain the family a little bit more seriously, because many devotees will have to take birth again, so if they don't take birth in devotee families, then what's going to be the next life?
That's right.
So that's why I think that sometimes devotee families should, you know, this verse speaks of detachment in family life, but sometimes I think a little bit more attachment than what is being practiced now in ISKCON families would be healthy.
For a householder, detachment from material life means attachment to the Lord like it does in any ashram. So Grihastha's duty is to raise children and maintain them materially and spiritually. That is the service. That's the contribution. Any other comments or questions?
Saving time is so important because it's all belongs to Krishna. So in your experience, many years as a devotee, how have you found practically that you can save time and do things more efficiently?
Doesn't seem like Adi Carter, you want to answer? Oh, I see. How to save time.
Eat less
and sleep less. I haven't done that yet, but Prajalpa, don't engage in prajalpa. That's one way we waste a lot of time. In frivolous talk, sometimes devotees say, I don't have time to read, you know. But actually, if you see how much time we spend in talk which is not so serious, then if we could gather up all those moments, then we'd have time for other things. So I guess prajalpa is one way. I mean, I'm guilty of that, so if I could speak more about Krishna. Hare Krishna.
he asked the disciples, yeah, and he said they must come every day to see the deity. Because, you know, by seeing the beauty of the deity, we won't be attracted into it every day.
Well, you're certainly a good example of that. Adhikara Prabhu Ki. Yes?
It's everybody's duty to preach, but for example, this morning when I was coming to the temple, someone had been knocked off a motorbike, and it was quite a serious accident. So half of me wanted to stay there and see if I could say something Krishna conscious to the victim. But at the same time, I thought, I haven't saved myself, I'm not even a fraction.
How we preach if we're not very realized, do you mean?
No, I mean, if you're in a situation like that where you can see somebody's really in a very critical state, should we say, I felt it was selfish just to drive past and come to the temple to hear class.
Well, generally when someone's in a critical state, you know, they're not very in the proper mood to hear a Bhagavatam class, you know. Now please repeat after me, Om Namo Bhagavate. This verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is discussing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Absolute Truth. Why aren't you listening? You know, it's a preaching according to time and circumstance. So if someone's in a critical condition where they're leaving their body, the best thing to do is just give them the essence. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I remember one time in Czechoslovakia, there was one... Devotees were driving along, and this was during the communist days, and there was one army officer who had driven his car off the road and hit the tree. And he was all alone, dying in the field, and the devotees happened to come by. They weren't dressed as devotees, but they came to try to give some assistance, but it was sure and certain he was going. So they just started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So he's some, you know, communist officer in the army. He's probably never heard of, you know, Krishna. And here's somebody saying, Hare Krishna. So his last words were, who is Krishna? Sudanam ki. So to learn to preach according to time and circumstance. Yes. How book distribution is going to help? Because when we go on the street with our mridanga, they can only hear it for one block. But they can hear the same message. Actually, we've just repeated what Srila Prabhupada said in here. It was quite a strong verse, actually. He called it householders insane. But he presented it in such a way that this is the duty of the spiritual master, actually, that he makes us laugh at our own foolishness. Instead of making us feel like, you know, well, wait a minute. He presents it in such a way that we just laugh. You know, look at how foolish I am. So although Prabhupada used very strong words, he called them insane householders. He went bit by bit and showed them how through their attachments to family affairs and the wasting of time, etc., that they're actually an illusion. So the best way to convince all the Dhritarashtras, another purport Prabhupada said, in previous ages there was one Dhritarashtra. Now he said, there's so many Dhritarashtras. So how did Dhritarashtra become freed from his illusion? Because Vidura preached to him. So how will all the modern Dhritarashtras become freed from their entanglement in family affairs when they can hear Srila Prabhupada preach to his transcendental books? On that happy note, we'll finish. Gantarav Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Go Premanandi.